Blog Talk Radio.
I know you called in
and this is something weird that's never happened before. You called in basically right at launch, and about 2 minutes before, and I had...
Hey. Hello?
What in the hell was that?
I have no clue.
What did you hit?
I didn't get the chance to hit anything.
Just log out. Just log out.
I think my spirit over at my favorite location is following me, because I have no clue what the hell that was. I know one thing, though. It was not pleasant with earbuds.
It was not pleasant in general, just holding the phone to my ear either. I couldn't make out what it was.
I have no idea. Just out of nowhere. Thank you again, Blog Talk, for the wonderful memories. And I will make sure to tell my audiologist what you've done to me. Hey, what the hell is that?
Well, that's, and, you know, we must be getting a lot more listeners to Full Spectrum Radio, because to have EVPs coming through that neither of us were in control of, that's pretty interesting. So thank you to whoever.
Remember the night that we had Kimberly Brulette, and, oh, good Lord, forgive me, I completely botched it. What, I can't remember
Darren
her
Van
name.
Hammond.
There you go, yes. We had the last hour of it was like muting back and forth to see who was, you know, trying to isolate. And even with everybody muted, we had voices coming through, but, you know, and I mean, they're in the archive. It's there. You can't deny that we actually had, well, I guess we had EVPs coming through on air.
And
I mean, if everybody's muted.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And what makes it even more interesting and more intriguing about what happened that night, this is not the way that this broadcasts. It broadcasts through bytes online, to where it's like if you're listening to Pandora Radio, you don't happen to pick up a faint, like, you know, Spanish station in the background or something that you're getting crossfeed or anything like that. It's completely digital, and it's secluded to its own channel and its own broadcast. So it's not like we're on a 90,000 megahertz, you know, tower that's putting out and just happens to be the atmospheric conditions are correct to have something interrupt the broadcast. There was nothing, and, I mean, Dennis is absolutely right. I went through the board, and I isolated each individual person. There was four of us that were on in archive. And you'd listen to it, and I'd mute three, I'd leave one active, and we would sit in dead silence. I mean, there was no dogs barking in the background, there was no nothing. It was complete dead silence. I did it for each individual person, then I muted everybody, then I had everybody active. And, Dennis, am I wrong that it was all the same damn pitch and everything that was coming through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and especially, I mean, we heard Karen's name called out, what, three different times? But I know why it happened. I am convinced, Matt, and it is your fault, and I'll tell you why.
I'm a drunk pimp.
That's exactly why.
God. Bless it. Everybody, I apologize for the way that this program is going to go. Dennis found all.
How about when this is over, we go do a little coke?
Sure. Wait, was that allowed? You're supposed to send me that in chat, not on the air. Come on, man.
That's a load of crap.
Exactly, it's a load of crap. I was supposed to send it on the air, Matt. And it's all
for every,
we have strange shit happen.
Okay, and for everybody listening, I'm going to let you know right now, Dennis and I are not going to go do coke. I'm just kidding. I'm in Chicago, he's in Richmond, Virginia, so...
That's a load of crap.
How is that a load of crap? It's geologically accurate.
No, the fact that we're not going to go do coke afterwards. I'm sitting here right now with a 12-ounce can of coke.
Ah, okay. There, I like the flip up on that one. That was good. Oh,
I got
thought you were talking about drugs.
Oh, good Lord, no. Drugs are bad. Boys and girls, always just say no. And that is our PSA for today.
Yes. You caught me off guard with that one. I thought you were going to go somewhere with that, but no, you just leave it. Leave it as what it is.
Well,
all right.
Exactly. Oh, wait, did you think I was going to do something wrong? Oh, my goodness.
Not you.
You thought I was going to do something wrong, didn't you?
No, not you, ever.
I'm heartbroken, man. You don't trust me. I'm heartbroken.
Have I ever trusted you?
I'll get over it by daybreak. I'll get over it by daybreak. I've met me, too. I don't blame you.
All right, so...
You know, so what?
Are you done? Okay. Do have one thing that I do want to say, and this is actually in your benefit. For everybody who is out there that is not exactly a, you know, law-abiding citizen, one thing that you do have to remember is how much, and even think about if you have any sort of conscience whatsoever, is how much your actions do can affect somebody who is just out there to provide for their family. Dennis, something happened to you a couple days ago that was kind of where, you know, what happened exactly?
Well, I promised my celly I wouldn't say anything, but I slept on my stomach one. Oh, wait, no, that's a different story, right? I got you on that one, man.
Yeah, you did.
No, I came out. Now, for those that don't know, I'm a contractor for a living. The tools of my trade are what keeps a roof over my head, food in my family's stomach, fuel in my vehicle. I came out Friday or Saturday morning to find my truck had been broken into, and right now I've got an inventory list of about $3,500 worth of my tools that are stolen. I don't know if the cat that stole them or people that stole them even know how bad they have screwed me. But from Saturday to today, I'm doing minimal work simply because I have no tools. Now, I do have insurance, but I have a deductible on that. They give you depreciated value of the tools. They do, you know, all kinds of fun crap that you just, you know, I've got $3,500 in tools that I've purchased over the years to make my job easier, faster, done right, whatever. And now I'm having to do, essentially, over the next however many months, I'm having to do the same damn work with less tools because they're not going to give me the same value of what I lost. So if you bought them for drugs, if you bought them to feed your family, whatever, I hope you have a great time. If you stole my tools for drugs, you low life piece of dog crap. If you stole them so you can buy food and feed your babies, you know what? So much the better for you. Take care of the kids. I understand you got to do what you got to do to feed your family, but I got to do what I got to do also. So thanks for screwing me out of that. You know, had you come to me, had they come to me and said, hey, man, I need some money, You know, it's just my nature that I would have hooked them up. But no, instead, they got to go and steal all my crap. Kind of rude.
Yeah, and in that, there's a lot of things, and I see it. I see it around the, not so much the area that I live, but it's happened to me numerous times. Not with like tools or something essential wise, but you know, car stereo equipment. Like when I was in high school, and you know, putting a whole bunch of money into stereos and all that kind of stuff. That yeah, I walked out. My three of my windows were smashed in the car. The interior is completely ripped apart. You know, and CDs and all that stuff to where I was getting insurance checks for $3,000-$5,000, depending on what I had in the car at the time. And, you know, it was one of those things to where it's like, if you have to disrupt, and yours is way worse than, you know, of a situation than that, because that's your business. That's, you know, mine was a hobby. So for what it is, like, honestly, if you're that hard off, and yeah, I mean, if it's something that's drugs or whatever, then I feel bad in the first place that it's consumed you and destroyed your life that much to where you have to resort to ruin somebody else's to feed your habit. And there are places that you can go to get help for that are anonymous. They don't even cost money. You know, just, like, if you see something going on, or you hear something, or you think that there might be something going on, just take a quick peek out the window or whatever, and you don't even have to get involved. Just, you know, dial 911. Let the professionals take care of it. Any information that you can give, because, like Dennis was saying, they don't pay you out in full. And if it's something that is what it is, you got to work to make money, but you can't do the jobs that you could do to get as much money to buy the tools to replace what you could have been doing the whole time and be okay. So, I mean, it's an uphill battle at that point. And to disrupt somebody's life in that sort of manner is, like, it's sickening. So, just, yeah, if you see something going on, don't get involved. Just call 911 and let the professionals take care of it. And just want to give, for all our friends who listen, all of our, you know, listeners who listen every week, you see what happens, you know, firsthand from the horse's mouth. And if there's any sort of prevention or whatever for it, then just wanted to kind of touch base on that and say my piece. And to be honest, that's more of what our PSA actually is instead of the Coca-Cola one.
Yeah, well, I like the Coca-Cola one, though. I thought it was kind of funny, but apparently...
Yeah, no, that one was funny. That one was funny, but I did want to get serious for a moment, so.
Yeah, well, here's a great thing. Just take back, relax, folks. Understand that, you know, there's plenty of places around that will help you out. You don't have to take somebody else's livelihood and make them as low on their luck as you are. Instead, step up. You know, hell, at this point, if they'd have called me and said, hey, man, I need money, I'd have probably put them to work, because I'm working 7 days, busting my ass. So, yeah. But, I mean, just think about what your actions are going to do to other people and how bad they're going to screw them. Be it something as simple as not using the turn signal on the interstate and moving over in front of them to, you know, like with my case where they broke in and stole all my tools. Think about your own actions and how it's going to screw somebody else up. That's all we're saying. Right?
I completely agree with that. Yes. Don't get me started on the turn signal thing again.
Oh, I do it just to get you a goat, man, because it cracks me the hell up.
Yeah, I know. All right, so on the Jeff, who's listening and tuning in on chat right now, that's Jeff Resman, which I do want to get into a little bit of that, because Dennis, I believe that, am I wrong that we have some fun stuff coming up?
Oh, I do believe we do. Are you talking about September?
Well, I'm not only talking about September, I'm talking about what's going to be going on the 24th of this month.
The 24th of this month.
Which,
well,
I
don't
well,
have
Jeff,
what going on.
No, so, you don't. But
yeah, so
combine all together.
So, hey, I was out today. I was in the park, you know, and just enjoying the sunshine. And I was thinking how much I'd much rather be in the Midwest on the 24th. But I won't go there. Go ahead and tell what's up, brother.
All right. So, and I do have a congratulations to who's going to be hosting this, not only for that, which I don't know how the hell they're working this out, but I have to give him a ton of kudos, which is Tim Miley. Tim is actually getting married this Saturday, which how he's doing that, and then also on the 24th running the Fox Cities Paracon. Like, how do you plan a wedding and a Paracon at the same time? Like, wow. Half off to that guy.
Dude, I had a hard enough time planning a wedding. I couldn't figure out whether I needed one or two kegs.
And that was your involvement, and Hope took care of the rest.
Well, no, I take that back. I had to figure out what costume I was going to be in also.
Oh, yeah, there is that too.
Yeah. Oh, you think I'm being a sarcastic ass, don't you? No, my wife and I actually did a October 30th wedding. We did it as a costume party. She was dressed as a beer wench. I was dressed as a prince. And no, before you ask, I didn't wear the damn tights that went with the costume. But I rode in on a pony. Well, okay, a pony head on a stick. I'm not kidding. My father showed up as a beer cooler. My mother showed up as a California raisin. One of Hope's brothers showed up as a woman. Let's see. The justice of the peace that married us was the Grim Reaper. Well, rather than play the wedding march, you know, here comes the bride, and then, yeah, we played Don't Fear the Reaper. And after the service, the ceremony, whatever you want to call it, we just had a damn good time. Culminated with me and a buddy sitting on the back deck passing the tap back and forth from the keg. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, if he was, you know, if he was able to do everything that it takes to plan a wedding and also plan a Paracon, that's pretty awesome, man. My hat's off to you.
And he was our guest last Wednesday and talked with him, and he said that this was pretty much, what, 5 years in the making, if I remember correctly?
I think so. I suck at numbers.
Yeah, right.
But,
so, but just to give you an idea, it's Fox City's Paracon. It's coming up. It's actually going to be Friday. There's stuff going on. Saturday is when, like, the main event is going on. And this it's going to be a blast. Like, Fox City's Paracon 2013, Radisson Paper Valley Hotel, Appleton, Wisconsin, August 24th. Doors open at 8 a.m. Tickets, $40. And, yes, that's $40 for everything. It's not, you know, individual. So if you're in the Wisconsin, Illinois area, you want to make the trip to Appleton, for me it's a three-hour drive. I'm trying to remember exactly the last time I drove to Appleton. But people are going to be there. Yeah,
$40. That's pretty good.
Yeah, $40, mm-hmm. And it basically gets you everything. I mean, you know, the event and also hanging out with everybody after. They're doing a huge karaoke bash on Saturday night after the event's over.
Oh, good Lord. Are you singing that?
Of course I will be. But, so.
I've got to admit, I will give you kudos. I've been to Matt SoundCloud. He has a couple of songs that he's on there singing, and it's not all that bad. I mean, the pipes are a little rusty, I think, but it's not all that bad.
Yeah, I'm going to practice.
I have a feeling, though, if a couple of shots were to be placed in front of him prior to his singing, it'll definitely get even better.
Well, Tim loves karaoke, so that's why I set up this party. And, Jeff, I agree with you 100%. He posted in chat, I recommend people buy stock into pens. If you attend the conference, you'll need it, just because you're going to be peeing yourself so hard from laughing so hard. Just the people that are going to be there, I know a lot of them, just great, fun people. Christopher St. Booth, Philip Adrian Booth, Keith Age is going to be there, Paul Bradford from Ghost Hunters, Scott Temperman, Rosalind Brown, Scotty Rorick, Tim, obviously. Kale Kelly is going to be there, Joe Kudo, Deb Lentz, Nancy Resman, Jeff Resman. Jeff, yes, I know you'll be there, which is a huge reason of why I'm going to this one, is you and your wife. Dear friend Dale Kaczmarek, and the always crazy, never know what the hell he's going to do. Part of the reason I'm scared to go, just because of what he and I will get into, our dear friend Scott Grunewald. So, really, really looking forward to the 24th this month. Going to be just a damn blast.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little sad, and I'm not going to make it to that. But what do we have coming up in September that we are going to get to make it to, Matt?
Yes. Dude, this is going to be the best fall ever.
Or at least
like
for
August,
the CPR team.
Yeah, for us, like August, September, October. I don't think we have enough time in the show to actually go over who all is going to be where we're going to be, which is Parafest in Allentown, Pennsylvania, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. So what I'm going to try and do is I'll name a few of who is going to be there, but is this list not absolutely staggering?
Oh, dude, I know there's like 58 names on it right now. So this should definitely be a cool-ass Paracon. And, hey, to top it all off, yours truly, Matt and myself will be there, and we will be doing live broadcast from the Parafest. Live interviews, just no telling what the hell kind of craziness we'll get into. And I promise you folks, when Matt gets arrested, I will shoot video of it.
I mean, it's so many of our people that we've just become really, really close friends with over the years, and a lot of people I'm actually looking forward to meeting who I know from my family background, I know that are really good friends with a lot of these people. And I'm not going to mention my family's aspect name of it, because I don't want people to be like, oh, who are they? Let's look them up. But there's going to be some people there tonight. That night that are good friends of my family. So it'll be nice to actually meet them in person.
I'll give you a quick rundown, just a few names I'll throw out. Mark and Debbie Constantino are going to join us there at Parafest. We've got Bruce and Dave Tango are both joining us. Steve Gonzalez from
Ghost Hunters is going to be there. Even Chip Coffee is coming. We have managed to bring Grant Wilson out of Ghost Hunters retirement to be there. I got David Roundtree and Tracy Ray are going to be there. Good grief, I can go on and on and on, but we've got Jeff Leeper, who's a producer and investigator. It's just a huge list. Right now there's about 60 names on the list. So you definitely want to join us if you're anywhere near Bethlehem. Well, of course, Jeff, it is when he gets arrested because, you know, I'm going to, no, folks, that wasn't just a clue train that left me. I'm also looking at chat. Jeff had to ask not if, but when, huh? Well, sure, because I'm going to pull all kinds of crazy shit, and I'm going to tell him, Matt did it.
Oh, wait, what do you mean? Yeah, no, it wasn't CPR Dennis, it was CPR Matt.
Yeah, you have to get your CPRs right. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just where it is.
Please.
Yeah. Was that you or was that?
No, that was me. And it was a lot faster than I thought it would be. It kind of sucked.
you'll get the hang of it. But no, I was talking.
Could you, like, shut up and give us some money?
There we go.
Is that better for you?
I feel better. I feel better.
Yeah, the couple people I was talking to about going there recently is Aaron Sayers. I was talking to him. He's worked with Scott Grunewald a bunch of times and just a real down-to-earth, cool guy. He's going to come hang out with us. Brian Kano and Jason Gates, real good friends of mine. I talk to them pretty frequently. It just depends on what they have going on business-wise, but we actually work together we've worked together a couple times, and before they do anything with putting it out there of asking about EVPs or video clip or stuff like that, I've helped them out. Kristen Bauer, I talked to her. She's really, really cool. I've never met her in person, but she's actually been to Chicago a whole bunch of times.
And she was smart enough to stay away from you, huh?
Oh, most people are. You're the dumb one. Hey, I got you doing 2+ radio shows a week.
Well, this is true. You've talked me into so much shit, man. What is wrong with me?
But yeah, so I'm extremely, extremely excited. There's certain people that, I mean, we deal with too from our own radio family. I mean, Sarah LaBrie is coming from Mexico. Jody Parks is going to be there. I think Kevin Spirit Gasper might even be taking a trip up there. So it'll actually be really, really cool. Megan Campbell. Brittany Johnson, unfortunately, has a prior engagement that she couldn't get out of. She was trying to work it out to be there, but it happens. Schedules are schedules, and it is what it is. So, but yes, that is Parafest, September 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Sands. And now my computer screen just froze. Dennis, do you have the website up for it?
I do. Parafest2013.com. What do you need to know, my friend?
Oh, just as far as if you go to Parafest2013.com, you can see the full lineup of everybody there. You can purchase tickets. You can get all the event info and everything. I'm just extremely, extremely stoked about it. These 3 months, August, September, and October, one of which you will be able to be involved in, the last one not so much in October, unless you decide to take a trip up here, is the Chicago Ghost Conference 5 is happening in October. Which I'm bringing up the information now because my screen decided to release.
You know why it does that, don't you? They've always told me that computers are no brighter than the operator. Is your computer wearing a helmet?
No.
I couldn't resist, man. I couldn't resist.
No, but I sure am.
Well, that's good. I told you, don't go anywhere without your helmet, damn it.
You never know
what's going to happen. Yeah, we figured out. I mean, there's a reason that Matt has to wear a helmet so often. He drives a little jacked up Jeep, and well, you know, Chicago and that area doesn't have the greatest roads. I'm convinced he doesn't have any padding left on the roll bar, so he constantly bangs his head on the roll bar.
No, that is not even close to an underestimation.
Yeah. Oh, hey, it's got to be better than New York, man. That Cross Bronx Expressway, oh, my God. I don't know whoever taught them how to pave, but here's a hint. The smooth side goes on the top. So just
yeah,
a,
they don't do
just
that there.
Piece of information.
I've driven through there. They do not do that there.
Why did
she make this so hard to find?
I'm not real sure what you're doing, but I'm looking
there
at another
okay.
caller in, but I don't know how to screen them, so I'll let you screen. How's that work?
That works.
See, folks, you can tell I'm not all that bright. I have to rely on him to go through and screen a caller because, you know, I don't really know what the hell I'm doing here. But I have figured out one thing. I know how to do this.
We're there, dude.
this is Dennis's first night running the board, so I'll cut him a little slack. If it happens after this, he's fired.
Yeah, but it's money.
Money is cool.
So
I'm not
Dennis,
getting enough of it to run the board, by the way.
Dennis, if you want to talk about anything for a moment, I'll be right back. I'm sure it's Jeff, but let me just double check.
All right. Well, I will be glad to talk about just anything for a moment. One thing I have noticed, if anybody's been paying much attention to our weather, you know, things of that nature, somebody decided that it would be wonderful to make it rain its ass off while I have to work outside. If anybody has an idea on how to make tennis shoes waterproof, that are actual comfortable tennis shoes, I would appreciate a phone call. Now, that's not what I really want to talk about. it's one of those nights, folks. I'm about exhausted. One thing that I do want to talk about, though, is, well, at the beginning of the show, we mentioned how I had some things stolen out of my vehicle. Well, a lot of things. Two of the things that were stolen were my digital voice recorders. Now, I had a very bad habit that I would review, but I wouldn't transfer into my computer. Right now, I'm going to throw out a little shameless plug for an external hard drive. Always back up your EVPs. Be it, you know, because you don't want your shit stolen and you don't have them anymore, or be it the simple fact that, you know, at some point in time you want to be able to go back and review again. Reviewing is one of the most critical things that you can do. You can go out and gather some of the greatest EVPs in the world, but if you don't review them a time or two, and I do recommend or two, odds are good you're going to miss something. I actually transfer mine from my recorders onto a jump drive, and I pass them to my secondary on the team, and I let him review mine also. And you'd be amazed. I mean, my whole team was gathered around, and I was trying to fast forward through to a specific point to play an EVP that I caught, and they actually caught one that I missed, and they did it all together, and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. So that was pretty cool. But always, don't always rely on just your ears. Share your EVPs, share your recording sessions with, you know, teammates. See what they come up with. You might be amazed.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis, yes, that was that is Jeff, and I know I think he might be at a little limit schedule, so well I do have some comments about that, so we'll get back to that later. But
yeah, bring him in.
Dear friend Jeff Resman is with us. How's it going, brother? How are you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. A little nervous and talking to you and you listening about the conversation about the 24th, because from what I understand, you said that you will be armed and keep the peace.
Well, you know, it's not, it's in a hotel, you know, they may not allow that, but, you know, all in the civilian and open population of Wisconsin, that's somewhere somewhat different.
So, you're excited for the 24th as much as I am?
Oh, Nancy and I have been looking forward to it for a year, since we did last year's conference.
So, Dennis, Jeff was kind of the one that kicked off a little something for me. Last Halloween, you and Nancy.
Right.
Which, mind you, I still have that piece of paper. I never got rid of it, and I've talked about that little piece of paper starting this whole thing so many times.
And, Jeff, I got to tell you, fantastic read. I was actually kind of stumped when he first started bringing it to me until I started seeing the rest of the scenario. And, yeah, that was definitely pretty cool.
You know what's funny? I'm not like that, Long Island psychic bitch who gets in everybody's faces and you walk up to someone in the grocery store and start telling about something about them and reading them. I don't do that. I'm very, very, very respectful. Both my wife and I are. But we're sitting there at the table. It's just us. And we're talking. And we're thinking. And it's when something's just so blatantly in your face and you're seeing something, you know, it's just like, I got to say something, because it's just like, you know, it's bugging me.
Well, yeah, so basically, I'll give a quick synopsis of what happened. So we were out for a Halloween party at my favorite place, Tokyo Bay, for sushi. And we were just hanging out, and there was a bunch of us that were there. I mean, Jeff Mudgett and his daughter were there. You and Nancy were there. Myself, I mean, hell, it was a pretty long list of people that were there.
Oh, wow, a lot of people.
Yeah. And so we're sitting there, and we were having a conversation that, and I had not, and Jeff, you'll confirm this, I have not mentioned anything about this person or this scenario or anything to you prior to this night, right?
Correct. That was the second time I had met you, and I know nothing about you or what's going on.
Yeah. So we're sitting there, and Jeff writes, it's a sushi place, so they have the chopsticks and the paper. And I was talking to, I think it was either Jeff Mudger, Susan Sherman, or your wife at the time. I don't remember exactly, but Jeff just takes the chopsticks out of the paper, grabs one of the little sushi pencils, then just starts writing on it, and then folds it in half and just slides it across the table to me. And what was on the paper was a 5'5" blonde, short, really cute, And there was, I don't have it at exactly my disposal, but there was something, one other thing that was written on there. And I looked at Jeff and I was like, what the hell is this? And he goes, she's been watching you for a while now. And I'm like, well, 5'5" blonde, really cute, early to mid 20s. Well, where's she at?
Standing right behind you.
Yeah. And he goes, well, she's no longer with us, and she's right behind you. I'm like, what? So what Jeff had written down was an urban legend that that Mark, CPR Mark, and I, who we started CPR, we investigated an urban legend that there was this girl, her name is Audrey Moore, who we have 167-page police report of her death. The urban legend that we were investigating was Help Road, where it's kind of all over the country, where there's a guy and a girl on the way back from prom, or they were driving and it was a terrible rainstorm. They flew off the road, and in a last-ditch effort, somebody goes up onto the road and writes help in their own blood, no matter how much the city paves over it, blah, blah. It comes through the pavement, and nobody can understand why. So we were bored. There was nothing going on, Mark and I, and like, hell, let's go check it out. Come to find out that there was a girl's body who was found out there, Audrey Moore, who was 5'5", early to mid-20s. She was blonde, and judging by her photo on the police report, she was pretty damn cute. And she was found out there in the early 80s with her wrists and her neck and her ankles bound by barbed wire, and she was dumped in a farmer's well. Well, the farmer was irrigating his field, and her body got sucked up into the bottom of the pump, and that's how they found her. So Jeff knew nothing about this, and, like, I almost got pretty much pale after he had told me this. Didn't really have anything, like, Mark and I really didn't have anything to do with psychics and all that. We had, you know, talked to a couple of them in the past, and they were just, you know, BSCs, a.k.a. batshit crazy, trying to, like, charge us money for, like, personal readings and well, you know, why don't you test me out? Why don't you, you know, and I'd be happy to work with you. Why don't you give me $150 and I'll tell you something about your past? Like, what? No.
Yeah, that sounded really ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's how that whole situation got started. And ever since then, I mean, and Dennis, you've had experience through remote out there that kind of left you in a little bit of pain.
Yeah, that's a polite way to put it. Have you even told Jeff about that one yet?
No, I have not told Jeff about that.
Oh, yes. Well, Jeff, after you, which, by the way, Jeff, I'd love to meet you. And the first time that I do, I'm going to kick you in the ass for drawing it to his attention, because then he drew me into this. So
we
ended
up in a misery loves company.
No, I got misery, jackass. I'm sitting at my dining table. I'm about half lit. Matt's going on and on about you throwing this note at him and describing this girl, and I'm like, well, yeah. And then I start describing where he was at. I described where he parked. I described what he was riding in. I described everything about the location. I saw her getting out of, well, I saw her in the back seat. I'm kind of seeing it through her eyes. For whatever reason, I decided to remote view this thing and just kind of see what transpired. Sitting at my dining table, I got punched in the nose by nobody.
Really?
Yes. I saw three males around the vehicle, you know, just outside the door. She was fighting to stay in the car. And next thing I know, I got this massive pain right on my nose. Now, I bounced for nearly 15 years. I know what it's like to be punched in the nose. I've had that. I got that one sitting at my dining table. So, yes, Jeff, when I meet you, I'm going to kick you in the ass for drawing this to his attention and getting me punched in the nose.
Well, at least it's better than you punching me in the nose.
Well, yeah, I mean, it, for me, now I've, prior to that, I had, you know, done remote views on a couple of different locations. One of which is the location that Matt always talks about there in Wisconsin.
Right, but do you realize when you did a remote, you did more than just a remote view of it, okay? You're not looking at it from the outside in. You actually became part of it, and the ones that were there actually sensed it and knew that they were there and physically reacted with you.
Well, actually, I think I'm pretty convinced from all of the, well, I actually told Matt how she was bound. I didn't tell him what with because I couldn't pick that one up. But I could pick up that her wrists were bound to her throat. I felt the difficulty breathing. I felt the pressure on my wrists and my neck simultaneously. I knew they were together. But the part that I didn't, I'm pretty certain I saw it just from her side. And I don't think that, you know, I think she transferred what she felt to me. I don't think the other actors in this scenario had anything to do with me getting punched in the nose. I think she just transferred what she felt and let me feel it, which I immediately backed off and told her, I don't need to feel what you felt. You can tell me. But my eyes watered, my nose hurt like a son of a bitch. So, yeah, thank you very much, Jeff, for cluing him into this situation.
I got to honestly tell you, when I did this to Matt, and he's looking at it, and I explained to him, and I had to say something, he turned pale, practically pale. And it was like I scared the living crap out of him.
Well, the one thing that was the proverbial nail in the coffin, if you will, was the fact that you pretty much damn near nailed her name, too. That was when I'm half Italian and half Polish. My skin is more Italian, so I tan very easily. And yes, it was October, but it takes a while for it to fade. I think I was whiter than that piece of paper that you passed over to me.
You were. You just like are looking at me and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to scare you, but I have to just tell you this because she's standing right behind you and she's talking to me and she's just been walking back and forth around the table for the last hour or two and she's just like hovering around you. And I'm curious. I want to know why, because she just, it had to do with you.
That also gives me a line of thought that I want to question you on. When spirits do attach to people, can you describe why they pick who they pick and what actually is an attachment?
Let's see if I can explain it. It's a very common thing that happens. I mean, if people go to a cemetery to visit relatives, they bring spirits home. They go to a funeral, they bring spirits home. Because someone is usually of a more sensitive nature. They don't realize it. But the spirits, that when you put yourself in a situation or somewhere, the spirit will recognize it, acknowledge it, and attach their energy to your energy because you are a bit of sensitive. They read your energy. And they, you know, most of the time they want to tell a story or, you know, they want the story to be told. They want to talk to you. A lot of people don't realize it. There's so many people out there that are sensitive that don't acknowledge it, understand it, or realize it, and say, I'm haunted. But they attach because of the person that you are and your energy.
Huh.
That's the simplest way that I can explain it.
Does any of this kind of ring a bell, Matt?
As far as which other situation or...
Now, Jeff, let me ask you this. Can somebody with abilities sense when someone else has abilities?
Oh, most definitely. Someone who can see the energy around someone and can sense their abilities and see them. On the other side, we can also sense and see and tell you who's a liar, fake, and a fraud right up front.
So,
yeah, well,
with that, I just want to let you know I have written, Jeff, just because I'm going to see you first, I've written your name on my index finger, and Dennis, you are very, very well fit on my middle finger. So, on the 24th, I can slap you, Jeff, and for validating what Dennis, you just made his ego bigger. And Dennis, I'm going to slap you for just notating that your ego is bigger now.
You're going to slap me just for me being me. Now, would you like to tell him why I asked that question, Matt?
Are you talking about the little experiment that we did or what?
Yes.
All right. So, okay, Jeff, let me ask you the question then. Did you ever get any sense at all that I had any sort of ability or anything like that?
I guess you're very much right. You do have it. It is there. I think that you don't want to acknowledge it, what you have. Okay.
Jeff,
but
you're getting
there.
You're getting exclamation points after your name right now.
I'm a drunk pimp.
I mean, this is a very, very common thing. I mean, I deal with paranormal investigators all the time that don't realize how sensitive, or, you know, I'm not going to call it psychic, but I'm going to call it sensitive, that bring things home with them, and shit starts happening left and right. They don't know how to communicate with it, you know, I mean, because they're in denial, and try to open them up and get work with them, and, well, first off, fix the problem that they have with the spirit. Second, fix them so they understand what is going on with them so that they can protect themselves in the future.
All right, Jeff, and I'm going to side note real quick. On Sunday after the conference when everybody's – are you going home Sunday or when do you plan on going home?
Well, we'll be there Sunday. You know, we'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night and coming home Sunday.
Okay, Sunday on the way home, like we'll leave at the same time and I'll bring you to – a private residence that's the most haunted house I've ever been to. You don't know anything about it. I've never told you anything about it. It's in Eden, Wisconsin, which is just outside of Fond du Lac. So you have to pass by there right off. It's 8 minutes off the interstate to get to this house. Passing by, we can make a quick stop and just kind of get an idea, and you and Nancy get an idea what do you think or what do you feel, and then I can go through and validate or, you know, say yes or no on pretty much anything that's there because I've done this house almost a dozen times now.
Sure, no problem. Would love to.
And I would love to know if he comes up with what I came up with from 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, Dennis has remote viewed it. He's also talked to the homeowner. He's talked to the kids. He's been involved too. Dude, that would be because I know, Jeff, you do One Foot Out of the Grave on Wednesday nights at the same time as our show.
Right.
So that would be a cool, and, you know, we can set it up for after the conference if you and Nancy have the time to come on our Monday night show, and the four of us will actually talk about, you know, the validation, and we can, and the homeowner, who I won't say her name, but the homeowner has actually been on our show also. So she can come on and talk about it too.
Oh, we would love to. I mean,
I think
there's so much stuff going on out there. It all depends if you believe it.
Yeah. I think for what it is, with Dennis having remote viewed it, also our dear friend Chelsea DeMolly from Hot on Encounters that was on Bio Channel, she's done a remote viewing of it, and she at the time was out in Portland, Oregon. And also, Jeff, I know you know her, Tracy Ann.
Right. Yes, I do.
So, and she's done it, and Chelsea, Tracy, and Dennis all had a powwow after they all did their remotes, and Dennis, how'd that go?
Yeah. All three of us nailed. I mean, this is how strong the energies are at that place. Even from doing remotes. Like you said, Chelsea DeMolly was in Portland, Oregon. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, 1,000 miles away. All three of us got the same things that Matt has gotten on EVPs and everything else as far as what's going on at the property. So that's how strong the energies are. Just amazing what I was able to pick up. And, I mean, prior to that location, I had actually remote viewed two others, and I'm not going to lie, I'm just starting to figure out that I do have some abilities. Until then, I just thought I was, you know, batshit crazy, and I heard a bunch of voices, but...
Oh, well, did you ever answer the voices in your head?
Yes. And when I started getting accurate information from them, family members' names that have passed, finding things that they led me to, you know, like one of the remotes that I did was 500 miles away. It's up in a house in Connecticut. I was told where I would find paper, and we found a birth certificate in the wall exactly where I told them to go look. Very early 1900s. So, you know, it was definitely kind of cool. But, you know, like I said, I'm just starting to figure out what my abilities are. I do know one thing. I went to Connecticut later on, about a month after I did that. I went up and hung out with my daughter and her husband. They took me to a casino. On the way to the casino, we passed a place called Norwich. God, what was the actual name of it? Well, Norwich Asylum is what it's known as. I don't know the actual legal name of it, but it's a closed-down asylum. And as we're passing there, all I can hear are the screams and cries. And I'm looking around like a, you know, like a dog in a kennel trying to find out, you know, where in the hell am I hearing all this from? Well, then I found out what we were passing. I mean, it's dark out. I'm in the back seat, so I'm not really looking around. But I'm like, oh, shit. We need to find another way home because I don't want to hear that again. I mean, that was one of the freakiest things I've encountered.
Have you gotten used to it yet?
I actually had to talk with a couple of people. One of which was Tracy Ray, to find out how to shut them the hell up. And that was an immense help. And then I talked with Tracy Ann, and she helped me better my shielding. So yeah, I'm able now that, you know.
Yeah,
if I'm tired, if I'm already run down, if I'm tired and run down, I keep my shields up just because I don't want to be bothered.
Right.
But if I've got, you know, if I got plenty of energy and everything's going good and blah blah blah, then I'll open myself up, and it's just amazing what I can hear. I think the one thing that freaks me out though is like when I meet somebody in public for the first time, or I'm walking through, you know, McDonald's or wherever, I immediately start getting images, and I've got to look around and go, okay, who in the hell did that come from? And that kind of bothers me.
Yeah, it's going to get even worse if you go out to dinner and you start reading the room. And you can go like, that's with his daughter, that's with his mistress, that's with this, and this is what they're talking about. And you can point to people and know what they're talking about. You know who's there with their girlfriend and not the wife, who's cheating on who. You hear the conversations.
Yeah, and that's the part I'm talking about. You know, I can shake somebody's hand now and tell you whether or not they're a nice person.
Yeah, I know that feeling. A couple years ago, I shook the hand of a man who had his wife killed at a vigil for his wife, for someone local out here. I shook his hand. My wife saw me raising my other arm to just give him a left cross, you know, just punch him. And she's just like, don't do it. I'm like, because he's guilty of sin.
Yeah. Yeah, I can. I mean, it's really weird. I can shake somebody's hand and tell you whether or not they've cheated on their spouse, male or female. I can tell you whether they would be more prone to lie to you or tell you the truth. Now, I mean, all of us have a good bit of that ability. And, I mean, we all read people.
Right.
But we also have an enhanced capability of, you know, like I'm a contractor for a living, so I meet a lot of new people. I shook a man's hand, and I could have looked him dead in the eye and told him his girlfriend's name. But I have to keep my work clothes on.
You
so
keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's
but it
was... It's something
it
you
was
can't
the weirdest
turn off.
Thing, and I'm like, you know, I hear this voice, and I'm like, where the hell did that come from? I'm looking around right. Like a dog looking for the fly that just bit him on the ass.
Right. You can't shut it off, but you can ignore it very easily with practice.
Well, that was... Well, and I'll tell you the funniest thing... we helped a young lady that she hears spirits, hears voices, and everything else. And I've actually spoken with her on the phone several times, so I know that she's not just full of shit. We helped her, myself and Tracy Ann. Tracy Ann told her to put on the bunny suit. She didn't understand what that meant. Well, when you put your shields up and you picture the white light coming from the ground up and it fully encapsulates you and that's your shield, think of it as a bunny suit. Well, that made sense to her. And it helped
everyone
her understand how to do
it. Everyone has their own way to do it. Everyone has their own way. You
yeah.
find your own way. What works for you, you do it.
Yeah, but it's definitely a strange thing when you're able to, you know, meet someone for the first time and you know their family history.
Right.
Or
and
you haven't even met them and you just
how long has this
phone.
Been going on?
When did I tell you about the barmaid, Matt? About a year ago, a little over a year?
Yeah, and that was That was right after you were. Hold on. Excuse me.
Wait.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't that long. It was just short of a year, I guess, because they had just done the Paracon up at the Exchange Hotel, which, by the way, I'm going to throw out a shameless plug here. Coming up 6th, 7th, and 8th, if you're not able to join us up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for ParaFest, make sure that you do get to Gordonsville, Virginia, and go check out the Exchange Hotel for their ParaFest, or their Paracon. The Exchange Hotel is a old Civil War hospital that was called a receiving hospital. So it received North and South.
I know that place, and it's extremely haunted.
Oh, my God, is it a fantastic location. But nonetheless, I went up to meet David Roundtree and Tracy Ray. They were up there. Well, I wore my hat that says, you know, paranormal investigator. When I left up there, I had just enough time to get home, grab my wife, and we shoot league pool, APA pool on Sunday nights. So I grabbed my wife, we grabbed our cues, we went to pool. I still got my hat on, never gave it a thought. Now, this place sells, like, a mug of beer, like, you know, as tall as my head. I'm two beers in, and this is a bar tender, waitress. I'm not sure what exactly she was, but sweet girl. I met her for the first time that moment when I bought my second beer. Or I went back for my third, I don't remember. At any rate, I shot pool, went up to get a beer. She said, oh, paranormal investigator, so do you read people's energies? I kind of chuckled and went, no, not so much. You know, kind of like everybody else, you know, I kind of have an idea of who's good and who's bad, but that's about it. She said, oh, okay. Well, if you get anything on me, you'll come back and tell me, right? Well, sure. I got done shooting pool. My team's getting ready to leave, and I walked up to pay my tab. And I looked at her, and I just started rattling all this shit off. I said, you got four kids, one lives with you, one's over 18, one's with baby daddy, one was given up for adoption. You're not even sure about baby number two's baby daddy name. And I just rattled all this shit off, and she's standing there with her jaw hanging open. My wife is looking at me like I've just thrown a penis out of my forehead. And I've nailed this shit 100%. This girl is just absolutely dumbfounded. Well, I'm walking across the parking lot, and I am shaking. And my wife goes, what the hell was that? And I went, I don't know. I just kept hearing voices telling me what to tell her. She's like, well, how the hell did you get all of that right? I don't know. I've never met that girl. I mean, it absolutely blew me away. I was shaking to the point
well,
of like...
You do realize who is talking to you, don't you?
I actually had a couple that night that were talking to me.
Yeah, you do know what they are, don't you?
Oh, yeah, now I do. I mean, now I'm good with it, but it, you know, for the first time ever, it scared the snot out of me. I'm not going to lie. But
I understand. I can relate.
You know, I immediately left there, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat just trembling. And I'm like, I got to call Tracy Ray. So I called Tracy Ray up, and I'm like, Tracy, I know we just met today, and, you know, we've talked for a little while, but you are not going to believe what just happened to me. And I hear David Roundtree in the background laughing hysterically. And I'm like, what the hell does he find so funny? And David goes, he figured it out, didn't he? Okay, wait. Wait, what?
I'm sorry, I got to laugh.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, what? I figured what out? And David Roundtree goes, you figured out you have abilities, didn't you? I went, how did you know? And he's like, dude, we picked it up when you walked up to our booth today. But
a lot of people really don't want to know or don't know how to deal with it. So when it comes to them, then they call us and go, what the hell did I just do?
All right, a lot of people are in denial.
Yeah, and then he says, by the way, welcome to the what the hell did I just do phone call. And I went, well, that's definitely right where I'm at. And I explained to him what just transpired. And Tracy's like, well, I will be more than happy to coach you, guide you, help you along the way. You know, you have the option. You can accept the fact that you have this and move forward with it and try to build on it and strengthen it, or you can close the door and walk away from it forever.
Well, you know, you can't close the door and walk away forever because that nagging, the voices will become nagging, will drive you crazy.
I shut the door.
Yeah.
Once the door is open, it's very hard to close.
Unless the person doesn't want it open, which
correct.
In Matt's case, Matt did not want the door open. Now, he played a little game with me, and I put him to a test.
Yeah, we got to wait for that, and I want to get back to that. And, dude, I got tongue lashings left and right, and so did you.
Yes, I did. But
why?
Tell him what the test was.
The test was very, very simple. Dennis said, he goes, just kind of concentrate and let me, you know, just kind of see what you see. What am I wearing? And what was the outcome of that, Dennis?
Nailed it.
And he goes, all right, well, you know, I know you know my workout, my work uniform or what I wear for work. He goes, what is Hope wearing? His wife, which obviously she's just laying on the couch watching TV. And like, I know Dennis had just gotten home from work. As we were talking in the car, he walked inside. So it would make sense that he would be wearing something. So just as a test, he's like, all right, well, you know, you could have just kind of figured that I'm wearing what I'm wearing. And Dennis, what happened when I told you what Hope was wearing?
Nailed it. And started to
yeah.
bother himself.
Yeah, and then,
no
then I started like, I don't. And so I started, and I mentioned something. I was talking to Chelsea Molly the next day. And I was telling her, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I went through and I was talking to Dennis, and with all the, because it was Chelsea, it was Tracy Ann, it was Dennis, and it was Tracy Ray, who all told me that they're getting, like, a strong vibe for me that I'm putting out that I can do this. And it was random message. Like, I wasn't even talking about it. I wasn't even doing anything. I just got these messages like, what are you doing? Like, I was meddling. Or, you know, it was that mother's intuition. Like, I was in the middle. Well, I was a little kid, like a five-year-old, doing something wrong. And I got contacted by all of them. And I was like, oh, yeah, Dennis and I were doing this. And I should not have been honest. Well, I'm glad that I was because I didn't. And Dennis at the time wasn't as vested as he is now to kind of say yes or no. This is something you should be doing or not.
Let me tell you, first of all, you were honest, okay? I have the problem. I don't sugarcoat anything from people. I just tell them what I see. This is what it is, okay? Because they ask, you know, if you don't want to know, don't ask the damn question. First of all, but this
Amen.
Is what it is. This is the truth. This is what is there. Don't lie. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't be like a bunch of all of those other people out there who will, you know, come up with, add a story to it. Just plain and simple, A, B, C, D, this is what is there. End of story.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Like, that was the point, and see, at the time when this happened, of these people contacting me, and I'm like, well, I don't know if that's true. And Dennis is like, oh, let's try a little test, thinking it was an innocent thing. But it turned out that it wasn't, because you can't peek in the door and then shut it. You can't, you know, have it open, walk through it and say, no, I don't like this, and then turn around.
No.
If you choose to go into it, you got to jump 2 feet into it, like
exactly.
in the water. And that's what Dennis and I were doing. And at the time, we didn't know that it was wrong. Me personally, having at the point that we were at, having the option to say,
well,
hey,
who said
this
it was wrong?
What?
Who said it was wrong?
No, it was wrong to test the waters is what.
I've been tested so many times by people, especially by other psychics who want to know if I'm real. And each time, after they pick up the jaw from the ground and have to admit that everything is 130% accurate, then, you know, they go, you are real. And personally, I hate being tested, okay? I don't like being tested. I don't like the bullshit that goes with it. And then the final statement, oh, I guess you are real.
Well, no, that's not at all what I'm actually talking about. What I'm talking about is if you don't want to pursue it, don't do it. If it's something, you know, just want to test to see if you have it and kind of play with it like a Ouija board almost, then, you know, it's like basically the door is going to stay open and you're not going to be able to shut it. This is what
correct.
You were saying earlier. Is it, that's what I was saying was wrong. Is that if you're going to do it, and it's something that you want to do, you have to do your homework. You have to find a coach. You have to do all that stuff. Like for what Dennis and I were doing was wrong, and to say, hey, let's just see what kind of abilities you have, and then and you know, testing the waters pretty much. Oh yeah, you did a reading. Well, I don't want to do this.
Well, who's to say it was wrong?
It was personal protection is all it was.
It wasn't so much that it was wrong the way we did it. What they were saying was it was wrong for him to just dabble in it and then get out of it. And then poke his head back in the door and then get out of it.
Yeah, he wanted to open up the door. You want to back? Well, you want to take that? You take 2 steps forward, and you want to take 10 steps back.
Yeah. So, what we and you know, like he's saying, neither one of us knew it was wrong. But what he was doing was, he would, I guess the best way to put it was, he would just put his head in the door and go, okay, do I really want to be on this side of the door or do I want to be on that side of the door?
Yeah, but that's
then,
the nature of all humanity, curiosity and free will.
Yeah. But once you open that door, you've got to play hell closing that door again. So, and what was wrong, or what was explained to be wrong about it, was the simple fact that he wanted to open the door and then close the door. Well, no, you do realize once you open that door fully and you accept this, then you have to fight now to get the door closed. So your best bet is, if this isn't something that you want, or if it's not something that you're comfortable with, don't open the damn door.
Well, that is the biggest problem.
Down the hallway.
That is the biggest problem with children these days that open that door and don't know what to do and have no guidance.
No, the biggest problem with children that do it is the simple fact that the parents and the adults tell them that it's wrong. And now, I'm going into chat right now. I posted the ability to hear and listen is natural. Children pretty much all have it. But as they grow older, society leads them to believe it's not natural and they tend to grow away from it. If you're told something is abnormal as a child, do you want to do what's abnormal as a child? Most often, no.
No.
Because you don't want to be the outcast. You don't want to be the weirdo. Now, Gary asks, and how is this proven? How is it proven that children pretty much all have it? Almost all children have that invisible, quote-unquote, make-believe friend that if you send in investigators and you start pulling EVPs or you send in somebody that, like Jeff, who's a proven psychic that has abilities, then you know that your child is not seeing a, quote-unquote, invisible friend. They're actually talking to spirits because their mind hasn't blocked off that portion yet. They haven't closed that door. We're born, I think, with the door open, and society makes us close that door.
Well, I'll tell you how I explain it with people. Children, yes, children are very susceptible to it because their mind, their psyche, everything is a blank slate. They are taught from school, the church, their parents. They run everything out, and that's how they're taught, and that's where the beliefs come from. The thing is, like you said, and I tell people, you know, when I deal a lot of cases with children, I specifically deal with children mostly, that their invisible friend is not so invisible, especially when physical things start happening around the house. And the parents start seeing the so-called invisible friend and start going, holy shit, there's something there. And, you know, it's like a bad B-rated movie when the parents say, we don't want you talking to them, we want you to stop it. And then the parents start getting attacked. But there is something going on in the children because they're what I call innocents. And they don't know any better.
Yeah, they haven't been taught yet that it's out of the ordinary and it's not something you should do.
Correct. Now, I can tell you this from experience. When you're a child and all that stuff, especially when the child is gifted, there's a problem because they can go down two different roads with these gifts.
All right, well, let me clarify this. When you say when a child is gifted, do you mean with the abilities gifted or do you mean like scholastically gifted school-wise?
Abilities gifted.
Okay. Do you think they go hand in hand?
Yes, they do. If the child, say someone who's 6, 7, 8 years old, is gifted. And then they're given given gifts, okay, by their invisible friends. And they can do things. They can see things. They can hear things and see other things, and they know things. That's not necessarily a good thing because you got a question, where did those gifts come from and who gave it to them? Follow me?
Yeah, how all of a sudden did little Johnny become a math whiz?
Mm-hmm. But that's just on one side. The flip side can be extremely more dangerous because you have the good side, you have the bad side. And children don't know any better. They're like, I want to do this better. I want to do that better. I want to be stronger. I want to be better at sports. And they get that, okay? That's given to them. There's no questions asked. Because they don't know any better, because their invisible friend, who is their friend, gave it to them and say, oh, yeah, it's good, you know, blah, 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 I'm going to be with you forever. And sometimes some of these gifts come from the wrong side. And there is a price to pay, and the price starts coming out in pre-adolescence or pre-teenager years.
Well, In that, I mean, and I know it's been bashed. I know there's been a lot of crap talking about it, but when, you know, the show Psychic Kids was on.
Yes.
That's, and it has actually caused a lot of these kids, because of not having somebody who, like, has any belief or knowledge, basically they try and talk to anybody about it, and they don't have an outlet and become, I can't say social outcasts, but they're just, they're not as open because they're afraid to talk about it. And I actually would love to dive into this as far as what the psychological field, because there have been studies that the psychological field has done on this. And,
right. And I'll tell you, and, a friend of mine, my friend Judy, her son was on with Chris Fleming and Psychic Kids, and we had her on our show one time, and we're talking to her actually about her son. And the one thing that bothered me about that show, okay? No, you know, other than being canceled, you know, but no follow up. A lot of things disturbed me about it. And okay, so this kid's a gifted. What's that? And these are, you know, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 year old kids. What happens a year or two down the road? Where are they getting their guidance from? Where is the support group? Now that they've opened up and realized, hey, yes, this is happening, where is the support group to help them? Where do the parents turn? And they realize, hey, yeah, this is really happening. This is realistic. Where, who's going to help them? Who's going to say,
I had that same exact thought. You know, the parents are taught a little bit to accept it while they're on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little Susie and little Johnny went to the weekend getaway, and they met with, you know, it depends on who was running it. Sometimes
yes.
You had Chris, sometimes you had Chip. But, you know, my question always went back to, what are they doing now? This was filmed 6 months, a year ago.
Yeah.
What are they doing now? Who's helping them now? And has the child...
Who's helping them? Who's guiding them?
Right. Well... I mean, one thing that I have to say, and Matt and I have hit on it so many times, part of the biggest issue with any one of the paranormal shows is the production company.
That is the biggest issue.
Yeah, well, how much footage ends up on the cutting room floor because it's not fantastic and it's not going to build ratings? How much did they actually teach the kids, and how much did they actually teach the parents during that weekend that we don't get to see? So, I mean, I can't really bash the shows, but I also want to know, what the hell have you done later to help the children or work with them, you know, either A, further develop them in their abilities, further their acceptance of what they are able to do. You know, so, yeah, that is a valid question. I would love to find out.
Well, I mean, from Judy, we got an answer, you know, and like, oh, well, being the parents, we know, and we're there to help them, we understand it. Well, being the parent of a gifted child is one thing. Not knowing the cause and effect and consequences are different things. And I asked her, did you talk to Chip? Do you talk to Chris? Well, we talk to him every now and then, but she's like, well, we help him and we guide him. Well, parents can sometimes be the biggest mistake in that whole thing also. You know, because they're educated to a point that they can be dangerous with it. Because they don't fully understand the ramifications of everything on a full scale.
And I'll agree, because we've all known that person that, quote-unquote, knows just enough to be dangerous.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about their car, their house, you know, any of those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I mean, to me, I think the program was wonderful in the fact that it brought to light that these children exist. And then I also have to ask, well, what the hell did you do with them afterwards? And, you know, did you just give them that little weekend? I mean, trust me, in 2 days, now, I'm a rather intelligent adult. Shut up, Matt.
Liar! I don't need a soundbite. Liar!
See? That's just wrong. I knew it was coming.
Matt, you just keep writing on your fingers.
Exactly. But, I mean, I'm a rather intelligent adult. But I also have to say that, you know, if it hadn't been for such quality people that I have behind me and their knowledge and their abilities, I probably would have lost my flipping mind a long time ago. But I know at this point that any time that something goes on that I don't understand, I know I've got a decent little list of people I can call and go, hey, can you, you know, kind of slide in here, give me a hand, help me understand this? Whereas, you know, these kids only have, as far as we know, the other kid that they met that weekend or the other two kids they met that weekend. Well, they might be just as damn confused. But I will tell you this. If your kid says that little Johnny comes and plays with me, don't automatically assume it's just your kid's overactive imagination. It might be that little Johnny really is coming to play with you. And little Johnny might be just as real as your kid on a different plane of his existence.
Very true, sir.
I have to say, and Matt, I'm going to give a bit of a spoiler, but I'm not going to give much. Jeff, when you go to this property that Matt wants you to go to after the Paracon there in Wisconsin,
okay,
there's a child there that I want you to talk to, and you'll know exactly who it is. I won't tell you who. Get some of the stories that this child has. And I promise you, unless you're already starting to pick up, you'll know exactly what's going on. And this child has the exact issues that we're discussing right now.
He's talking about a living one. Yeah,
yeah.
He's talking, not a stories from beyond a current actual living child.
No, this child that lives in that house is alive in that house. Here's the people that are around her. Here's the spirits. Can interact with them. And some days it's just flat out, pardon the term, terrified by them.
Okay.
There's actually two of them, which I, and well, there's three kids on the property total. There's also, like, it, I can set it up to where if you want to talk to pretty much all the kids that go out there being friends of the kids, because it's basically family, friends, stuff like that, I can have everybody there. They can, after you do a quick little thing and take a peek at it, and I can pretty much have almost 20 to 25 people there to validate anything that you pick up.
No, it's just enough with the family there and you there knowing the story.
Well, here's the funny thing. What's the first energy that has nailed you, Jeff? Because I know you've already focused in on this place.
I'm
Get out of my
child.
Head.
a little boy, brutally murdered. Okay, and when I say brutally, I will not describe what I see, but it was brutal. And this goes back quite a while. Very disheartening, to say the least. The little boy is sad, hurting, and to a point, vindictive.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
He,
I know exactly what you're picking up on. And I just sent Matt a Facebook message telling him where you're at.
And I concur.
It almost brings me to tears seeing it, honestly.
Who is the strongest energy that you pick up at that location?
I focused in on the little boy immediately, but there's a there is a male figure. I want to say scratchy, cranky, cantankerous, somewhere in his 50s. Likes to yell a lot. Very powerful, very controlling. He's just yelling. A control freak.
Okay. Can you... Now, I am not testing you by any means, Jeff.
I understand. I know.
So don't think I'm testing you. But can you describe his wardrobe?
Yeah, I'm seeing two things with him.
Can you describe his demeanor? Other than cantankerous?
Nasty. A control freak. Everything has to be his way. For some point, I'm seeing in the past farmland, and I'm seeing a farmer type.
Oh, shit.
You know, like blue jeans, overalls. He'd like to play with a big cutlery, shall I say.
Okay.
You know,
ooh,
some sound type stuff.
I know who you're talking about. But anyway, continue.
He's just nasty. Very threatening.
Yeah. Confront him, and I guarantee you he will start using vulgarities that could make almost any sailor blush.
Oh, yeah. He's got quite a vernacular for getting his point across.
He's the same old man I ran up against.
And, oh, God, what is the farmer's head? It's like half moon... You know, a half-moon knife with a handle. You know, they use them for cutting crops.
He carried a sickle.
That was
yeah.
his favorite tool.
Yeah.
And he is holding that and waving it around as he yells.
Okay.
What... If I play something, because I have it loaded on the board, since, like, I can't, but, Jeff, you can hear it in your head. If I play a quick audio clip, do you think you might be able to pick it out? if that is the person
yeah.
of who it is.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know, and I may have to play it once or twice just to give you an idea of what it is, but it's only 11 seconds. It's not that long. All right. I clipped down for the board, so one second. Let me actually bring the volume back just a hair.
Desmond.
Shut up, Dennis. Now I gotta go.
Say it again. Please. When did you get this audio?
This one was about a year ago.
Right around the middle of it, I can very clearly hear I'm going to kill you.
I didn't hear that. The muffling, and I'll say what it is. I'm not going to bait you on it, but. Because I'll let you listen to the actual audio file that I have, and like with earphones, because who knows how the hell it's being broadcasted to you and all that stuff. But the actual audio file is. Go ahead, Dennis.
Send it up to SoundCloud. Make sure Jeff has access to your SoundCloud. I have to say that is the truest. Because I know what the EVP is, I know what it says, and SoundCloud gives the most true recording. I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's less compression and decompression or whatever in the audio file, but I could just barely pull out what he said on that, and I know what it is, and I know when he said it. But SoundCloud is one of the best locations.
Well, I know. I got a couple friends who use SoundCloud.
Yeah. This one is pretty damn clear. I don't know how it comes across, but I can hear it on my phone. I don't know if, Dennis, could you make that one out? I know you know what that one says, too, but.
I'm not sure. Play that one again, brother.
That's it. When you hear it on audio, it's clear. This one might actually work because it's a female voice. So this one might actually come through better.
Pass the curve. Okay. Audrey, we know you come out here.
That was actually, you know what, Jeff? That was one from Audrey.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Mark and I. I tied that one wrong, but yeah, that was one from Mark and I that Audrey came through, and it was a female voice just said, "Jesus." So if you listen again, I'll tag the time for you.
Pass the curve. Okay. Audrey, we know you come out here. Pass the curve. Okay. Audrey, we know you come out here.
After the static.
Right, I
hear
it.
You hear the static and you hear a woman's voice saying, "Jesus."
Yeah. Right.
Pass the
yeah.
curve. Okay. Audrey, we know you come out here.
Yeah, it's right after he says pass the curve.
Right. I mean, you can hear it. Just it's right before it starts saying the last word, it hits.
You hear the rustling? You hear a rustling, which isn't a rustling. what that is actually me. Like, I didn't change anything. I didn't enhance anything. I didn't change pitch or tone or normalize or do anything. All I did was bring the volume up about 2 points in that clip.
Okay. So I got software. I can take the pops, hisses, and everything out and punch up the voice without losing any integrity of the EVP.
Yeah, and that's the software that I have too, but when it transfers onto the board, it's a free-for-all.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
It goes, well, I tried to email Matt, and this was one of the things that, now, coming up, we have Mark and Debbie Constantino that are going to join us on
the
show.
We're not playing that shit when they're on.
Well, no, I'm trying to get a date nailed down with them now. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with Mark and Debbie Constantino.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay, they get wonderful EVPs. I want to question them on, I sent Matt an EVP through email, and he didn't hear jack shit. Yet my whole team stood here and heard something totally, like, crystal clear on that same exact recording. I did nothing to it. I transferred it straight from my recorder to my laptop and emailed it out.
That's very common.
Yeah, just clip from start to finish, give a few seconds each side of it, and that's all I did. He didn't hear jack shit. Well, I uploaded that same exact one to SoundCloud, and he got the same thing that I got. And actually, Helmy Kramer from Factor Fake, or not Factor Fake, Haunted Encounters Face to Face, is, he follows my SoundCloud also, and he went in and listened to it. And he came back with the same exact thing that I got, the same exact thing that Matt got. But I sent the same email to Helmy, and he didn't hear jack shit on the email. But SoundCloud, he could hear it. So I'm wondering if through compression, decompression, transfer, you know, over the wire and everything else, if it screws up an EVP so bad that it wipes out what we're after.
Well, it all depends what format it's in. It's not supposed to. By email, it's not supposed to do it, damage it, or change the audio credibility of it at all. But it also depends on the format that the EVP is in, too.
Well, that's true. But speaking of EVPs, I have a statement to make. To the rat bastard, sorry, Matt, I know we're supposed to keep it clean tonight, but to the rat bastard that stole all my stuff out of my truck, you took both of my recorders and my Sony recorder that you have. I'll give you $50 if you bring it back because it's got some of my best ever EVPs on it. So there's $50 extra for you. Bring back my damn Sony recorder.
You know, I hate when that happens. People just are inconsiderate, rude. They just don't understand how much they're hurting someone when they do something like that.
All right. Well, Jeff, I've got a question in the chat room. Terry,
Yes, I know I want to interrupt real quick. We got about 6 minutes left of airtime before we go into archive, and we can continue, you know, for however long we need to. But
1 hour.
Jeff, if you want to plug anything on the air, I was messaging Dennis. We have people who are listening in the UK right now. We have people who are listening in, or who listen to archive in New Zealand, Australia, like, all that. So we're global. Dennis, congratulations, we're global.
Okay, well, let's answer the question real quick from Terry. If the ability is there, why is it that everyone that has tried to read me, they have never been correct.
We can all answer that.
Right. Well, before you answer that, Jeff, let me. Do you have any plugs to throw out? Like, I don't know, jeffresman.com or anything like that?
Well, listen, my wife Nancy and I, we do our show One Foot Out of the Grave on People's TV Network Wednesday night, like you say, on the same time zone, which, you know, we will be doing cross-talk shows. Literally, we'll be calling you while you're doing your show and while we're doing ours. So we do two shows at the same time. I love doing that. We'll be back on the air soon enough when the schedule clears and my health gets a little bit better, and we'll have some fun. And it's like your show, a little bit anything and everything, paranormal, everything else, and it's just the show is all about the people and the guests.
That would be
awesome.
Dennis, Jeff, thank you seriously for the offer that, and we will 100% take you up on that.
Oh, most definitely. Now, Jeff, I do have to ask, though, is your show rated immature? Because they have our show rated mature, but I know Matt's not mature.
Yeah, well, give him another 10 years, maybe.
Okay.
He's still a Toys R Us kid.
And as you notice, once in a while, there's a little vulgarity gets thrown out in our show.
You know, that's okay. When we do the same thing, that's okay. We try to keep our show very mature, especially with our guests and the subject matter, and we get a lot of psychics on, and we take a lot of call-ins. And it's when that happens, it's no holes barred. It is like, don't ask the question if you're not prepared for the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, Dennis and I are starting a show on Mondays coming up soon, which is Full Spectrum After Dark, which is going to be pretty much just a no-holds-barred, complete, just whatever. So Monday's clean show, Wednesday's is clean show, Monday is get the kids out of the room.
Well, but you know, if it tells you anything,
people don't need to have vulgarity to get their point across.
Yeah. Well, the debate on Monday night show that we're going to start doing, have we actually figured out whether it's going to be Full Spectrum Unleashed or Full Spectrum After Dark? Because that was the debate, is what the name was going to be.
Yeah, we're still up in the air on that. We got a couple weeks before that's going to happen, but it's the guests that are not going to be so much child friendly, if you will.
It'll be PG-35.
Yeah, and anything from porn stars to whatever is not like we're doing a Howard Stern knockoff or anything like that, but just
It'll be a stress relief show.
Exactly.
Well, just people who operate in certain ways, if you will, is going to be more geared towards that, and we're fine with it. But
right.
So yes. Anyway, we got about 50 seconds left. I just want to say thank you, Jeff. One foot out of the grave. Yes, we will definitely team up with you on that. Just on air, I should say.
Right.
About a minute left.
And we'll be seeing you in a couple weeks, so it will be fun.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out here while we're still live.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Catch Matt and myself at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis. Catch us at CPR Matt and CPR Dennis on Twitter, Facebook. Catch Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on Facebook. Catch us at ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com. Now, even if we go into archive, Jeff, you can still talk and Terry will still hear you, so you can still answer her question. If the ability is there, why is it that everyone that has tried to read me they have never been correct. You can now answer that question. All plugs have been thrown. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Feel free to listen into the archive to this answer to a fantastic question. Your show, Jeff.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me. You know, I appreciate it. Terry, first off, and not to be shameful for psychics, but just there's no way to come across and say it, but, and this even goes to a good friend of mine who's a psychic, a medium, and he's been wrong talking to people, and he hasn't learned, he finally learned to drop the subject matter when the guest has been telling him, no, you're wrong, this is not the right thing, and, you know, pushed. And he finally learned to drop the subject and go on, sorry, I don't get anything for you. But psychics, people do readings, will tend to push until they try to find a generic answer, a generic something where it will fit you. And that's what it is. It's just generic. It's not specific. And you're looking for something specific. In my mind, those are not true psychics or mediums, but, you know, those are the ones that are out there like that, the ones that will charge or you will do this and we'll do that, and then, you know, all ego-driven and think that they don't know everything. And that is not how I see things. Okay.
Hang on, Jeff. Terry checked out, so I'm going to... She is actually one of my best friends. I've known her for 20 years.
Okay.
But she left chat, so I'm actually going to send her a text right now to call in.
Okay, cool.
Once she calls in, she will be in with us for the remainder of the show. And excuse the cough.
No problem. I'm doing the same thing.
All right. Here's something that... Then I wish we can touch on, and yeah, I mean, when after we do the event on the 24th and you and Nancy are on, like for Monday or, you know, the following Monday or whatever it takes.
Right.
There's a lot of things from that we discussed tonight that I want to address from a psychological standpoint and from a, like, and I'm not talking for... Everybody who listens to the archive, I'm not talking about parapsychology, I'm talking about actual psychology. Parapsychology is a branch of, and don't get me started on that. I'm not a parapsychologist. I went to school for abnormal psychology with a minor in sociology and human behavior.
Right.
So, totally different than parapsychology. Parapsychology is, and which cracked me up actually, is starting to be accepted by some of the most renowned colleges in the United States, and I don't understand why.
Oh, yeah, they're even teaching classes in it.
Yeah, you can't do trial and error. It's all... skepticism. It's all speculation.
Now you see the issue and the problem.
But I've seen it for a while.
Hey, Matt, are you able to
call
out from the board? She says she keeps trying to call in and it keeps kicking her out.
You know what? The call-out feature has disappeared.
That's what I was afraid of. I dropped my phone.
That's Black Talk for you.
Well, worst case scenario. You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to
Freeway?
Yep. Ad call.
You whore.
You're just
So in the middle of his sentence calling me that I'm just pissed, he switched over and did whatever he was doing. See, Jeff, you see the quality I have to work with here?
So that's because if his keyboard is coming up on his computer, I don't know if yours is working yet.
No, mine's fine.
Matt, you with me?
I can hear him.
Yeah. By the way,
Jerry,
don't stop in the middle of a sentence saying, "Oh, he's just pissed that he's or you're just pissed that," and then click over.
No, I was going to say you're just pissed that I have the ability to merge calls like this, but all of it. I called her and it threw you off to the wind for a moment. Jeff, are you with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, I have Terry on the line. Jeff Resman is on the line with us. Matt being your host. And I am CPR Dennis. So Terry has a question that she had asked in the chat prior to the show shutting down. Her question was, if the ability is there, why is it that everyone that has tried to, quote-unquote, read me, they have never been correct? Jeff, that one's directed at you, sir. Would you like to go ahead?
Real quick. Can I put my two cents in about that?
Go ahead.
Why are you talking?
I'm talking because in conversations with Terry that I've had, once, and this is just my own, like, analysis
this
and
idea. This isn't real quick.
Idea. Shut up, Dennis.
Your idea of real quick and mine are totally different, dude.
Yeah, well, we have an hour of archive, so shut the hell up.
I feel like I'm talking to Evan and Costello.
That's pretty close. But with, like, honestly, the way that I look at it is, and the conversations that Terry and I have had, is, first of all, when somebody, with her own personal beliefs, somebody who is going to try and read her, she's going to instantly block. And it doesn't mean that it has to do with, you know, the psychological or the medium and or psychic end of it.
You think she puts her shields up so they can't see anything. God, spit
exactly.
It out, dude.
She said this is
going to be real quick.
Shut up. She instantly automatically believes, and not just thinks it, she automatically believes that they're going to be wrong. So it's almost like trying to read a blank slate, and a lot of people will try and come up with just random answers. But even if she was on, like, my couch, not saying I'm a, you know, actual clinical psychologist or anything, but
you're never that lucky.
No, I'm not.
Man, you know, man, you just wish you could get her on your couch.
Hey, Matt, I have an idea. Shut up and let Jeff answer the damn question. How's that?
Go ahead, Jeff.
This is why we're so damn good. Jeff.
The host has been shunned. I'm sitting in my corner sucking my thumb right now.
I am now muting Matt.
At this point, I assume that he has taken his black marker and he's written all over his hand, so he has to start writing on his feet at this point.
My hand is black. Fully black.
Oh, and you noticed you only heard black? That's because I muted him. Shut up, Matt. Let Jeff answer the damn question.
Fully black.
Oh, damn it, he's still talking. Mute.
Well, you know what? I think Matt brought up a very valid point, okay? Which is, you know, as soon as, you know, a lot of psychics, and I will admit there are people are psychic, there are different levels of psyche and psychic when it comes to psychic. In general, a real good psychic will be able to look past any shield it up. Okay? A real good psychic will be able to do that. I mean, it's a natural response to put up a shield. But a real good psychic will look past it and be able to still see everything and read the individual. But someone who, say, like on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'm talking a psychic that's on a level 10 can do this, but a psychic that's on a scale of somewhere between 1 and 7 won't be able to. They can't and will not be able to get past that shield. And they will start making generic statements, you know, just like in trying to hit on something. And when the person says, oh, well, this, and then they start prodding for answers and, you know, and then start going off on a tangent on something that came to, that you gave an answer that, the psychic gave an answer that was even close to being what the reality was. Okay? Does that make sense, Terry?
Yeah.
I mean, and the biggest thing that bugs me about this stuff is psychics that pay, they charge you. You know, I mean, they're all over the place. Out by me, there's three of them within 3 miles of me in different areas, you know, you know, got the sign up with the eye, the psychic, the reading, $10 a reading. How much? Yeah, fortune tellers.
Right.
You know, I'm going to tell you this, you'll understand when I say it. A real psychic, they're not going to talk at you. They're going to talk to you. And when they're talking to you, they will not break eye contact. And you will not break eye contact with them.
Okay.
Has any psychic that's tried to do this to you, or in person, I'm assuming, ever done that?
I don't know.
Okay, is that right?
I just assume that they always made eye contact because they were trying to read your facial expression.
Well, they're reading their facial expressions and they're looking at you, but they're not looking at you eye to eye. They're not looking into you. There's a difference. You know, Terry, are you married?
Yes.
When you talk to your husband and he looks at you and you have a conversation with him, okay, like across from a table, is he looking at you and talking right to you or looking down or anything? I mean, it's a meaningful conversation. He will be looking at you, eye to eye, and not deviate.
Right. Right.
It's that same thing. I mean, I've seen so many psychics, you know, they look down and they're trying to get a read. How can you get a read from someone when you're looking down and not looking at them, or you're looking at their chest? Whether it's male or female, you know, they're looking at the anatomy, but they're trying to read facial expressions. I mean, they're rattling off generic statements to get a facial expression, and then with you know, because they're trained to do that, and then they get an expression, they're like, oh, okay, now I hit on something, I'm going to go off on that tangent.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. There are true psychics who will be able to do it over the phone, over the internet with you. And say if you had 100 psychics in a room, okay, I can honestly say that two of them, maybe three, would be on a level that I would consider a true and genuine psychic. The rest would be psychic wannabes, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If you were to read her now, can you pick up on anything?
The thing is, I'm trying very hard not to read her, okay? Just so you guys know.
What do you mean?
Why is that?
I'm trying because I'm seeing, do I have your permission to stay? Sure.
Okay. So now, before he proceeds, Terry, I want to make sure anything, and I do mean anything that he picks up, is he allowed to throw out there?
Sure.
All right. Jeff, open board, oh. Sir.
Okay, that's all right. Yes. There are issues in your life right now. And that's not a, I mean, that's a general statement, but no, there are issues. An unhappiness. And there is, because this is why I don't like to read people, but it has, something has to do with your husband.
All right.
And there is a very, very, there's a hurting, very much of a hurting there.
I'm sorry, very much of a what?
Hurt.
My
husband? Hurting. Yeah. Something that's bothering you.
No.
See, I mean, it's, I see things on a conscious and subconscious level.
Okay.
But it's, there's something I see that is suppressed.
No.
And it's, I also see and this is the hard part, there's a health issue somewhere. There is a health
How close?
Issue.
How close?
Close. Close.
There's a house issue close?
Health.
Health,
health issue. Not with my husband. I mean, actually, not with anybody.
No, it's not. This part is not with your husband, but it's someone close to you. It's not your husband. It is someone close to you. And God, it's hard to explain.
Well, just what do you get? I mean, she's already giving you open board.
Right, I know.
Whatever
someone,
it is, just throw it out.
Someone that is close to you is sick.
Okay, nothing
and,
I'm aware of.
Okay. I realize Dennis is a friend of yours and Matt's a friend of yours. Terry, there's something. Remember when we talked about people with denial?
Yeah.
There are things that you're pushing out of your mind and off to the side that you don't want to deal with. And my advice is eventually you're going to have to deal with it. And it will
okay,
make you
well, I'll think about that, but I can't. Nothing's jogging in my mind just now.
Okay, but it's there, and eventually, soon enough, you deal with it. It'll be much better. Okay, but there's like a wall you have put up. That
oh,
things
sure,
that you don't,
yeah. I've had a wall forever.
Things you don't want to deal with or acknowledge, you just push behind the wall, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty damn cluttered behind that wall. And it's very cluttered, and there's an internal conflict going on in behind this wall. And eventually the wall is going to break down.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, it's, and this, this goes back a long. The things in that behind that wall that go back 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of us don't like dealing with personal issues, the past, family, but you know, as I see, you have to deal with it to move on.
Can you? Do you know what's behind the wall? Because I'm not. I mean, I have a lot of things, mostly my ex-husband, but. But is there anything specific? Sure.
There is a lot of anger built up. Okay, there's a lot of anger behind there.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it directed towards?
It's not directed towards anything at one point, at this point, which is an issue, okay? It's like, try to, hold on. Excuse me. Okay, let me use this analogy. You fill up a water balloon. Okay? It's only meant to hold so much water, right?
Yeah.
And you fill it up, keep filling it, and you keep filling it. And what happens when it reaches its point?
Right, it breaks.
Yes. You are at the breaking point. Okay? You got so much pent-up anger and frustration, things that you couldn't do anything about, that were just thrown at you or part of your life, just pushed everything behind this wall. And it's at the breaking point, which is absolutely normal. But when it breaks, it's going to all come flooding out. And it will not be pretty.
Can you define what the anger is over? And I have to admit, Jeff, I've known Terry for nearly 20 years. So there's not a whole lot about this girl's life that I don't know. She is actually my best friend.
That's a good thing.
I mean,
because she's going to need you. She's going to need you to help her.
That's not a problem. As long as Anheuser-Busch continues production, we can get through pretty damn much anything, can't we, T?
Yeah, we do.
The day Anheuser-Busch shuts down, yeah, we're screwed.
I have another question.
Yes.
You said something about someone being sick in my family.
Yes.
Can you elaborate more on that?
It's someone close to you, and when I say family, it doesn't have to necessarily be blood family, okay? But it's someone close to you that you consider family, okay?
Hey, can you do me a favor and log back into Facebook if you can?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
It's a female.
Okay.
It's a female. You know she's. You don't want to deal with it. Like I said, out of sight, out of mind. You don't want to acknowledge it or deal with it.
All right. Can you get a relationship?
Yeah.
Can you draw the line of relationship?
Yeah, but it's not a person.
We'll see.
Ooh, I know where she's going. But
see, that's something.
No. If this isn't baiting at all, but I know it's somebody extremely, extremely dear to you, Terry. And it's, yeah, no, I know exactly what Dennis is talking about.
Yeah, but I also don't want her to give out any information because
and
she
nor did I.
Jeff, you have to understand. Even though she is my best friend in nearly 20 years, and I've told her some amazing fucking stories of, it doesn't matter, we're an archive. I can be blunt. I've told her some amazing fucking stories of some of the reads that I've done. She is my skeptic. The only way that this woman will believe that there is this ability or that there is spirits or that there is... Well, her word to me was, when you die, everything that is dark in your wormhood, that's it. The
right.
only way that she will believe that spirits walk amongst us, if one walks up to her, smacks her in the face and goes, boo, bitch, I'm here.
Yeah. Right. It's not that I disbelieve, it's just that I don't believe either.
Well, at this point, Dennis, you're probably going, well, maybe this bear should have punched Terry in the nose.
Yeah, probably.
Well, if you can direct him to do that, I'm good with that.
Hey, I'm hanging up.
But then again, the last guy they got, he didn't even get aggressive with her or physical with her. He just talked shit about her, and I punched open steel doors at the bar. They were locked. Some asshole shouldn't have locked me in the bar.
Well, as long as you had a key to the liquor cabinet, well, there's no problem.
Yeah, they didn't give me the key.
You aren't that foolish.
But
well, that's just plain cruelty, Ben.
Yeah, well, he was just talking nasty about my best friend, and I was willing to send him home in an ambulance, but he went out the front door and I went out the back door to get him. My bad that the back door was, well, double steel doors and they were locked. I punched them open. I was that mad.
Yeah.
I don't blame
you.
Now, Terry, I want you to do me a favor and promise me that you will open yourself up, let him look in, because I know you and your walls, kid. I've known you long enough to know.
Yes, but on the other side, I can only do so much.
Yeah, just be open to what...
used to being closed.
Just be open to what he has to say, and be open enough for him to actually look in for a moment and see what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I'm
that's
fine.
That's the only way it works. I mean, when I told you about me shielding, if even the spirits can't get to me, then, you know, that's...
Well, you got to understand, and I can relate. Terry, you've had this wall up for so long, and you keep strengthening it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And because the more you strengthen it, you have to keep strengthening it because you keep putting more stuff behind it.
Right.
Well, it can only take so much. You can only take so much, okay?
Well, it's become such a habit now.
Yes.
That it's not even deliberate anymore.
No, it's second nature to you.
Yes.
You have to, and this is going to take
first
a while,
nature.
Okay? Okay. You have to realize, and you know what you're doing, but you're going to have to, the easiest way to do it, you can't pull 10 things out and say, I'm going to deal with all 10 things. You have to do it one by one. And slowly and try to shrink this mess because this is it's turmoil, okay? you have things in there, and it's so much anger and frustration. It's like an internal conflict. It's fighting with each other inside your own head.
Wait.
And
fighting with each other inside her own head?
Yes. I mean, what's going on in the subconscious? I mean, there's so much. When do I see something that has to do with alcohol? A lot of alcohol.
Yes.
But something else with alcoholic and abusive and loud and just abusive with it.
No. I mean, other than I drink.
Well, telling someone who really can't drink anymore, if I could, I would. but no, I mean, it's something. It has to do with someone from your past.
That was going to be my question. Do you see the loud and abusive from her past?
Yes.
Or is it something current day?
Well, it could be current, but it's locked away in there. Things that were done to her.
That would be the past.
Yes. It's the past. But it's still echoing.
But that's actually where the wall started.
That's where it's building the strength. It's building the strength off of that to build the wall.
Yeah.
You know,
do you get anything about family around her? Things of that nature?
Well, there's a woman in there. Very loud.
Well, there's a lot of women in everyone's lives.
Well, this
one
is loud.
And most of them are very loud.
Yeah, loud with a little bit of a high-pitched voice. You know, the kind of people you want to say, just shut the fuck up. Your voice annoys me.
Wait, what the hell are you talking to my ex for?
Yeah, so, well, I was actually going to say, so you know Dennis then. Very loud with a high-pitched voice.
Oh, yeah, because I have a loud and annoying voice.
Well, it's annoying. It's not just high pitch.
But you got to understand, you're also enabling everything that's behind this wall to keep going, okay? Because all your past experiences and things that have happened are back there, and it's like reliving it over and over and over, and it's not ending.
It could be. I think about it often.
It is so much of a waste of energy. Because the more that you know it's there, the more you're strengthening the wall to block it up. It's costing you personal energy to shut it out. And that's personal energy that you could be focusing on for something productive and to help you.
Do you
working overtime on this?
Do you get people around her? I mean,
oh, I see a few people around her that pissed the living shit out of her.
The loud and abusive.
Dennis.
Okay.
Dennis.
You said it was a woman.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Dennis, will you answer him?
No,
Dennis.
He's pointing me out. He's calling me out when I said, do you see people around her that are loud?
There's no women no women in my family or friends, but my women, the women in my family aren't loud. They're manipulative.
But are you calling Dennis loud and abusive
God
woman?
God damn it. Where's the mute button? Bye, Matt. We'll talk to you in a bit. Matt, shut up. Jeff, feel free to continue.
Well, it's the. I also see not one but two males around you that piss the living shit out of you. Just
they
annoy
what?
You. They annoy
piss
you.
Me off?
Yeah.
Let's see, that would probably be Mark and Dennis. No.
What the
hell? I knew Dennis had a figure in there somewhere.
And she gets a paid deduction again.
I mean, there's...
Oh, shit, was that out loud?
He keeps cutting my pay all the time.
Hell, I've fired her 65 times.
Yeah. If you quit calling me back on the phone telling me that there's a paint job, like, you know, I might actually stay fired.
See, I wasn't wrong when I said Dennis, was I?
Oh, son of a bitch, I unmuted him.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get past the fact that Dennis is a loud and abusive, obnoxious female.
No, he can be a bitch sometimes.
Right. Dennis, do you have that annoying, uneasy feeling once a month?
Well, my penis does swell.
I couldn't resist.
See, you had to go there. My penis does swell. I'm sorry.
That sounds like a personal problem.
I don't mind it, though.
No, it's, sometimes it's a good thing.
I think it looks attractive on me. It goes nice with my tutu.
Oh. So you got a pink tutu
Shut
also?
Shut up, Matt.
I'm
Matt.
Quiet on that one. I'm
okay,
silent.
Matt.
Continue. Yeah.
But, Terry, in all honesty... You have to start breaking down the wall and deal with some of these issues one by one. And only one by one. And come to some form of resolution.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. I think part of it, Terry doesn't know what questions to ask. I will ask.
Yeah,
what
right.
problems? What problems? And what do you sense? I mean,
well,
she still gets an open book. So anything that you get, throw out there. She's welcome to put her dirty laundry out there, and now it's up to you to deal with it.
There's a few ways to answer the stuff that's going on around her right now that she's dealing with or the stuff that she's put behind the wall. And it's a full-time thing trying to balance and deal with both of them. And it's taking up way too much energy.
Well, I mean, can you narrow it down?
You got to deal with, start with, I would start, you can't go behind the wall and start dealing with the past and go to the farthest point from when you were a child. And dealing with those issues when you were 8, 9, 10 years old.
Okay.
But something happened in that point in your life. And it was traumatic enough that it's very well angered and shielded, and it's something that has grown with you as you've gotten older and helped form who who you've become, and it shouldn't have. You have to start with that first.
Right. Does that make sense, Terry? Or are you still vague on it?
I'm still vague on it because, a lot of things happen to a lot of kids at seven, eight, nine.
Then here's the question that needs to be asked. Are you asking or are you saying that I was physically abused, I was neglected, I was sexually molested? I mean, those things are... I mean, there
was
a part...
It was a very traumatic experience where it left a big imprint in her life, and it's where it started to form the path that she's on now. Okay. I can't see what it is, or what it was. All I can see was very, very traumatic.
And you say, just a second. Well, obviously we know it's not going to be a second. So continue with.
You already did.
No, continue with what you're saying, and then I can give you a completely different outlook on my own personal analysis of the situation.
Okay.
So, Jeff, finish what you were saying. Terry, listen to what he's saying, and then I have no shame. I'll disagree or I'll agree or whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I just want to know what Jeff has to say about it.
Right.
Okay. Well, I see something that happened because I can see roughly an age, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. Then I see another something around 14, 15, and 16. Another traumatic experience. Borderline, almost basically abusive.
Physically?
And yes.
Okay.
Of some form. And all this is built up starting from when she was young to it's created the path and why Terry is put up the wall to deal with it.
Same individual?
No.
Okay.
No.
So 8, 9, you sense one individual that was physically abusive or borderline, and now we're at 15, 16 with a different individual that was borderline.
All right.
Okay. I mean, the more that you draw the details, the more it will help the skeptic here understand. And I realize she's got walls, but... makes it hard for you to read, trust me.
It's very hard because it's like looking into a spider web.
Well, I've sat across the room from her, and she doesn't make it easy for me either.
No.
I will tell you this. Once you crack that wall, and once you crack that wall, she's pretty much an open book. Once you crack that wall, she lets you on the inside of it.
Because
she doesn't know how to patch that wall.
Well, we're at the point now, the wall is bulging, okay?
Okay.
And it's got many, many weak spots. To the point where it's not sealed. Okay? And things are starting to leak out. And as much as it's trying to leak out, you're trying to patch it. and you got too much going on in your current life right now, in reality that you, right now, that you, it's going to take too much to keep taking so much energy to, you know, hide this.
Okay, that's it, Dennis. I'm not working Friday.
What?
What the hell?
I got too much stuff going on. I can't work on Friday.
What the hell?
Not my fault. Just taking the advice.
So what? You're going to take a personal day because a psychic told you to do so.
Yeah, I like it.
That may fly with Dennis, but I don't think in other ways that would actually fly. Like, I was talking to this guy, he was a psychic, and told me to take the day off.
Yeah, I like it.
you may like it, but that's not what I said.
Hey, Jeff.
No, I don't ever work on Fridays.
Jeff,
that yeah.
would be two kicks in the ass. One for the punch in the nose, and two for my paid foreman bugging out and leaving my ass on the day. Just
well,
so
Dennis,
you know.
I'm going to put something else on you, Dennis, okay?
Yes.
You are going to have to help her and work very, very hard to bring out the issues from the past and help her get through them.
I don't know. I worked kind of hard to close off my ex and how he was towards me. And I don't know if I want that to change.
Well, the thing is, you closed it off, but you didn't end it. You just shoved it behind the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it needs closure. It just needs closure, and when you get closure on it, it literally will be out of sight, out of mind.
But there is no way to have closure.
Yes, there is. But that's the last thing I'm saying. Dennis and I are talking on chat right now, and that...
All right. Well, Terry, I'm going to tell you exactly what Matt just told me. Personally, I can blow her mind on shit. I will nail her in a non-sexual way, which means that he thinks that he has some shit. So I want to know. What do you think, Terry? Do you want him to say what he thinks?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be on the phone.
All right. So between that and Terry, you and I have had, like, basically minor conversations, so I don't know everything that's going on. Jeff, you're completely in the fucking dark on this. And Dennis, you've known her for 20 years, so that would, or 20-plus years, so that would actually be somewhat a validation.
Just short of 20 years, yes. But
right.
I won't give you information about her because that's her and I's business. So whatever you come up with, I'm not fucking, I haven't fed you anything, and I won't. What happened?
No, and Terry, would you confirm that you and I have had very, very minimal contact about anything besides,
that's
like,
true.
Pretty much just the show shit, and that's about it?
Right.
All right. So, here's what I have seen that turns you into such a hard-ass, if you will. And mind you, I wipe everything clean of what Jeff has said, what Dennis really hasn't said anything except for stuff that doesn't make any sense. Sorry, Dennis. I didn't take it last step. But, so, all right, looking at it throughout the years, there has been somebody that is, and I'm doing this purely on a psychological analysis way, not anything to do with psychic or what the hell is all that noise in the background?
To the point, brother. To the point.
Well, no, I just want to make sure.
Get more
that,
beer.
Well, you know what? Mute yourself and shut the fuck up because I'm trying to actually have a conversation here.
I should be writing how many times you guys have said that to each other. Right.
Yeah, I know you and your wife's show doesn't run like this. But, I.
Can you feel the love, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
So, all right, from a purely psychological standpoint and analytical way, is there is somebody in your past who has caused you to be this way, if not one or more people. There's that you have put up a lot of fences and not saying walls. You put up a lot of fences that you get people that can peer through them and peer over them, but without letting them know too much about you. Is you'll come close to somebody, and once there is an instantaneous red flag to you, you're gonna block that. You're gonna say nope, this is what it is. Perfect example. If somebody's on Facebook and started to say something a little bit negative to you, you either block them or you wouldn't talk to them, or you wouldn't respond to them. And that's just honestly human nature. Somebody starts to personally attack you, you say, you know what, fuck you, I'm done with you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And
right.
The one thing that I noticed is that happened with not only one or two people, is it's happened to you pretty much over, except for the past couple of years, repetitively. As of now, you're starting to open yourself a little bit more to say, hey, I'm going to let maybe a little bit more people in, but they're going to have to really, really prove themselves before I'm going to actually fully, wholeheartedly trust them.
Yeah.
Creates the grub. Exterior.
I have very, very few people that I trust. There's a lot of people that I like, but there's very few people I trust.
Yeah, and that's
some dumbass reason, I'm one of them.
I completely agree with
you know what they say. There's no accounting for taste.
Holy
well,
shit.
See,
that got comments from all three of you, and all I heard was.
Everybody agreed. Dennis, you've been, because of your age, you've been grandfathered in. Sorry, I had to fuck with you on that one. But, so no, getting back to it,
asshole.
Like there's, yes, I am.
Asshole.
And I'm proud of it. I'm bleached like a porn star. But, honestly, there's, you've
and
you've
bikini wax like a Hollywood star. You ought to see him in his G-string, folks.
Thank you for noticing. Yes, everybody check out www. No, I'm kidding. but no, like
this ain't right.
Yeah, Jeff.
My daddy told me.
Can I finish?
I should never get in conversations like this.
Can I finish get without out. Pun?
Go ahead, man.
Please.
Finish.
Well, I want to
hear
what
you're running out. Yeah, I'm running out of cell phone battery.
Yeah, so am I. And hopefully so is Dennis. But, all right. So, and the one thing that I do see is there was a repetition and when all this bullshit was happening, that it seemed to come almost like a flood or like a waterfall, to where it people don't put up the walls and the blockage and create this persona of themselves if it's sporadic. There was just there was a point in life to where it was extremely, extremely hard. Doesn't matter if it's financially or emotionally or whatever, or if they all tie together, fine, I understand that. But what it is a big event over a couple years that just basically got you to the point where you said, fuck you, if you want my trust, you really have to go above and beyond to deserve it. And there were certain people who didn't fall into that category, and certain people who did, which are ones that you still associate with. It was almost like
correct.
You came to a crossroads, and it was like, well, where the hell do I go? Do I go left or right, or do I go kick it in a four-wheel drive and go fucking straight? And you chose to go straight, but maybe veer off a little bit to the left, which keeps your harder exterior and lets you open up a little bit to let people in, but not fully unless they really, really, truly, honestly build your trust.
Correct.
And I'm not speaking in generalities. The one thing that I do kind of noticed is it is more family oriented. And I don't mean that as blood relative. I mean it as family oriented, as people who you considered true, honest to God friends, like that were your blood, that did kind of fuck you over in a way. But the ones that impact you the most because of the mental idea of them being family were the ones that affected you more than your friends. So you kept your friends at a distance. You kept your family a little bit closer. So it was easier to say bye to the friends than it was the family, which is emotionally affecting you the most. Like, well, how could somebody like this, who's supposed to be a blood relative and is supposed to, you know, love me and cherish me and be behind me and support me more than anything else in the world, be this, I'm going to use it as a term, I don't mean it in actual your belief, but be this monster who just doesn't seem to give a shit about me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I have any accuracy in that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you have quite a bit. You know, from a psychological standpoint, you're spot on.
So, like I said, I mean, we've had minimal conversations. I wish I could be more accurate in. Upon a longer conversation, then yeah, I probably could with how vague you are and how insecure you are about talking about that kind of stuff. Then would rather just say, oh yeah, I'm a badass, fuck you. That's not who you are by any means.
Right.
I know that just in the friendship that you have with Dennis, who's, if you can put up with him, then you have to have a huge heart.
Yep.
Sorry, had to take the stab.
But, more or less, Dennis is like the lost puppy you just can't help feeling sorry for.
Right.
No, he's not. He's the lost puppy you want to just drown in a river. Love
oh,
your brother.
No.
So, no, it's one of those things that if we had a longer conversation, I could be more accurate. And I know the same thing with Dennis and also with Jeff, who's never had a conversation with you, never met you. So he's going off square one, like, who the hell is this chick that I'm trying to have a conversation with? But Jeff, in the second time of knowing me, nailed something that I was flabbergasted. I don't know if you heard the first part of the program. With the,
no, I was having a problem. I kept getting booted.
Oh, shit. Yeah, if you heard that, I wholeheartedly trust Jeff and Dennis with their abilities. I mean, they're amazing.